Okay. Thank you for being here. It matters that you're here. I was going to do my talk on the five skandhas, the five conditions, which I find interesting, and but discovered no passion for doing a talk on it, even though I had said that, and I had myself convinced that's what I was doing my talk on. And I was having difficulty getting motivated, and I think it was Sensei Al said to me, give a talk on something you're passionate about. And then it all clicked. So I'm going to share with you, and I don't think it's going to come as a surprise to any of you, one of the things about Buddhism and my study and my practice that I'm passionate about is one of the three jewels. You know the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. And for me, my passion really lies with the Sangha. And like I said, those of you that know me probably understand and see that. so, you know, what is the Sangha? You know, it is the place we take refuge. As we take refuge in the Buddha and we take refuge in the Dharma. We take refuge in the Sangha. So it, for me, it begged the question, it's like, what is Sangha? What is our Sangha? What is it we're taking refuge in? And, you know, the other way to ask that is, why are we here? I mean, we can ask that in a big Zen question, like, why are we here? You know, like, why are we here? But we can also look at it like, why are we here? You know, today, this morning, a lot of people aren't, but we are. So, you know, the simplest answer is that we come together to practice and to practice together. But why? Why do we do that? What's that about? You know, what compels us to do that? I read through a lot of different definitions of Sangha, but the one that really struck me is that it's a place of return for spiritual support, for companionship, and for inspiration to practice. You know, when you think of the time of Shakyamuni Buddha, when the Sangha was typically the fully ordained monks and nuns who lived a monastic life and had approximately 2,500 rules to follow, if that's correct. And so to live a life with every day having 2,500 rules, or not every day perhaps, but throughout that experience, it's really helpful if there's a bunch of people who also are living within those 2,500 rules. It makes it easier. It's just as when we walk in here, if some people were on their phone and some people were looking out the window, the fact that people are sitting makes it easier for me to come and sit, because you're sitting, right? So it's a community of people who are doing the same thing and supporting each other in doing that. Today, in the West, you know, Sangha is a self-selected, I like this definition too, a self-selected group of people who are interested in and have respect for Buddhism who gather together to study and practice. And that's what I see us doing here. But again, you know, it really does beg the question, why are we here? You know? I don't know. As the Bodhidharma said, I don't know. So over 2,500 years ago, the Buddha emphasized that associating with people he described as admirable people was essential to our success in practice. And he defined admirable people as wise practitioners who are firm in their conviction that spiritual practice is important and are strong in virtue, generosity, and discernment. So the following I'm going to read is a passage from the Pali Upada Sutra. And in this, the Buddha is called the Blessed One. So Venerable Ananda went to the Blessed One, and on arrival, having bowed down to the Blessed One, sat to one side. As he was sitting there, Venerable Ananda said to the Blessed One, "This is half of the holy life, Lord. Admirable friendship, admirable companionship, admirable camaraderie." "Don't say that, Ananda," the Blessed One responds. "Don't say that. Admirable friendship, admirable companionship, admirable camaraderie is actually the whole of the holy life." What, and he goes on, "When a monk has admirable people as friends, companions, and comrades, he can be expected to develop and pursue the Noble Eightfold Path." So, you know, we're here for each other. Why are we here? We're here for each other. You know. And our presence here matters. You know, if we question, does it matter if I come this morning? No. It does matter. It matters to yourself, but it matters to the rest of us. So associating with what the Buddha called admirable people, you know, let's not forget, it's essential to our practice. So your presence here is an act of generosity. It supports others by adding energy and motivation, momentum to the collective experience. Now, that might be one reason why we're here. So in the fall, Dominique and I are taking lay monk vows, which in the monastic setting is called tokudo, but in the lay setting there isn't a word for it, so for now we're calling it tokudo. And it's been explained to be to me by our teacher Hoseki that a lay monk's main responsibility is to the Sangha. And this includes understanding and performing certain duties that are required in order for the Sangha to function. And some of these are being the Jikido, which is the person that rings the bell, and that makes sure the Zendo is set up the way it needs to be, that the temperature is where it needs to be, that knows who's in the room and if they're settled and comfortable and when to ring the bell. If somebody needs help, to be the person to go to them. It also involves being the Eno, which is the chant leader. And I figured out it must also include doing Dharma talks because I didn't volunteer.
I forgot to mention that one.
I figured that one out. But in addition to that, for me, it also means being caring and supportive to the individual members of the Sangha. And I'm sure that Hoseki would agree with that. It just wasn't in the job description. So I'm sure, you know, all of you have heard that we don't just practice for ourselves. We practice for each other. And that can be interpreted in a number of different ways. And the way I look at it is, you know, when I sit on the cushion, I sit for everybody, for all sentient beings. You know, I sit for you. This week I was listening to a podcast by Tara Brach, those of you that know her, and she told a story that I'm going to tell you. It's great. A client was in therapy, went to her therapist, and the therapist is a practicing Buddhist, and the client is telling, you know, everything that's going on and her problems and her issues, and the therapist said, you know, I recommend you go on retreat. I think you'll feel better. So the client takes the recommendation, goes on retreat, comes back to see the therapist and said, I don't know why you recommended that. It was awful. I felt angry. I was sad. I was jealous, I felt lost, I felt sick. You know, why did you send me there? Now the therapist says, let me see. You felt anger, you felt lust, you felt jealousy, you felt sad. See, I told you you'd be feeling better. So when we That's pretty great, isn't it? That's a good one. Mm-hmm. So when we sit, what are we doing? We're feeling it all, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that line from the Zorba the Greek, The Full Catastrophe. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's Jon Kabat-Zinn's title of his great book, The Full Catastrophe. It's all right there. So when I sit here, when I sit at home, when I sit on retreat, and I say I sit for all of you, when I'm sitting and I allow myself to feel all of that, all of the things that I feel, and have an intimate experience with that, when somebody's speaking to me about one of those feelings, I know that feeling. If I didn't know that feeling, how could I be of support and give my love to that person? If I didn't sit with the sadness that I've had over an ill father, how can I be a support to somebody who has an ill father? You know, I've sat with it. Yeah. And so we sit with our feelings in order to be of support to each other. So when I ring the bell, you know, when I'm Jikido and I ring the bell, I ring it for all of you, and not just so you know meditation is started, meditation is ending. When I ring the bell, for me, I experience self-doubt, apprehension, shyness, all that stuff. So if you talk to me about self-doubt, apprehension, shyness, I'm living it. You know, it's like I've done that. I know what that feels like. And of course, giving a Dharma talk is the vortex of all of that, right? It's like the big swirl of all of those feelings. But I do it to face the fear of it, to face the anxiety of it. So when my Sangha members speak of fear and anxiety, I know what it is. I live it. I've done it, you know. So as we practice in our Sangha together, we learn to accept ourselves and each other in all of our humanity, and ironically taste a little bit of enlightenment as we do that. So I'm going to end with a quote from the 18th century Japanese Zen master Hakuin, who wrote, "As with water and ice, there is no ice without water. Apart from sentient beings, there are no Buddhas." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, any questions, comments?